Okay, the first shir on Maseches Tainis, the first Iyun shir on Maseches Tainis, is not really a Tainis topic, but it's a topic that's a huge topic, and it comes up right there on the very first Amud of Maseches Tainis. The Gemara is discussing, as we know, those of us who've learned Beis Amud Aleph, the Gemara starts off with a basic machlokas, whether we start Masha Paruach from the first day of Sukkot, the Mishnah rather has a machlokas from the first day of Sukkot, because we're not really asking for the rain, we're just mentioning HaKadosh Baruch Hu's gevura and his ability to bring rain, or do we only say Masha Baruch Morda Geshem when we're in fact ready to ask for rain? And then the Gemara has two opinions where this, why the Masechta starts mid-sentence. We start with Me'emasai. It sounds like we've already been discussing something, and we're just continuing a discussion. So two opinions, where we're building the discussion off of. And then the Gemara discusses why it's called Gevuros Geshamim. Of all the things to call rain, we wouldn't necessarily associate rain with Gevura, with strength, with power, with might. But somehow the Gemara says that there is an association with Gevura in Tanakh, between Gevura and rain. So we talk about Gevura and rain. But then the Gemara gets on to, and this is not in your Mar Makomos, because this is a Mar Makomos packet that I used when I gave Shirma Maseches Brachos, even though this is there. I don't think there's a single Gemara Maseches Brachos in the Mar Makomos packet, but it's more of like a Maseches Brachos related topic when you talk about Tefillah. But the Gemara gets into the question, Umi Nalan de Betefillah. The Gemara asks, how do I know that you're supposed to say Masha Baruch Morda Geshem in Tefillah? Meaning, I understand that there's some idea of being Maskir Geshamim, but who says it's supposed to be inserted into the Shemona Esrei and that we should change the Nusach of the Shemona Esrei? The Achronim are bothered by that question because, I mean, where else? Where else would you say? When you would just like randomly say it throughout the day, at some point in the middle of the day, it makes sense to insert it in Tefillah. You're talking about the Gevuros of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you're talking about, and that's how Tefillah starts. It starts by talking about how great HaKadosh Baruch Hu is, and then we ask for a whole bunch of things, and then we thank Him and say other things at the end. But so it makes sense that it should be in Tefillah. But leaving that aside, the Gemara asks, Minalan de Betefillah, how do I know it's in Tefillah? So Gemara says, this we also know from Psukim, because when the Torah talks about Tefillah, the Torah immediately follows it up by talking about rain. So rain and Tefillah are connected to each other. Where in the world does the Torah talk about Tefillah? D'tanya, the Braisa teaches as follows. Torah says, La'avas Hashem Elokechem la'avdo v'chol levavchem, to serve Hashem with all of our hearts. So Ezohi Avoda Shibaleiv. What is Avoda that one does with their heart? Haviyomer zu Tefillah. The Pasuk must be referring to Tefillah. One could have said, what's an avodah I do with my heart? Every avodah I do, every time you serve a Kodesh Baruch, when you have any kavanah for anything, it's an avodah shebelev. But what the Gemara probably means is, what the Braisa probably means is, what is the avodah that's done exclusively with the heart? Meaning there is no outward action, there's nothing external whatsoever that's done. It's purely an act of the heart, and that is tefillah. Tefillah is purely an act of the heart, and therefore when the Torah talks about avoda belev, it must be referring to tefillah. And what does it say right after that in the Torah? Uksiv basrei, v'nasati mitar artzchem bi'ito yoro malkosh. That Hashem is going to give in the right time, He's going to give us rain. So you see that rain and tefillah are connected, and that's why we mention rain in tefillah. So this Gemara, this little tiny piece right here, this little brisa, serves as one of the major makoros in a fundamental machlokas between the Rambam and the Ramban, which has many ramifications. And that machlokas is, what exactly is the role of tefillah? What is the nature of the mitzvah to daven? What I mean by that is, what is it a mitzvah d'oraisa? Is it a mitzvah d'rabbanan? Is it a mitzvah to do three times a day on a d'oraisa level, if it is a mitzvah d'oraisa, or only a mitzvah to do once a day? Is it, maybe it's a mitzvah to do on a d'oraisa level, but not even once a day. If it's not once a day, how often would it be done? The Torah doesn't really talk about that, but what we do see very clearly is, we're using a pasuk, and the Gemara is assuming directly from the pasuk that you have a mitzvah called tefillah. So who does the mitzvah apply to? Does it apply to only men and women? What about goyim? Are goyim obligated in tefillah? It doesn't seem that it's on the list of sheva mitzvahs b'nei Noach, so you wouldn't think so. But maybe if we understand it as avodah shebelev, maybe it has something broader to it. So all of this is what we're going to talk about tonight. What exactly is the nature of this mitzvah of tefillah that the Gemara is referring to? And all we see from the Gemara in Tainis is that it sounds like it's based on a pasuk. Now, when something starts with a pasuk, the Gemara has a din based on that pasuk. There are two possibilities: either it's a din daraisa, and that's always the simplest way to read it. You have a pasuk in Chumash, a din that comes out of the pasuk din daraisa. What's the other possibility? Asmachta, that it's not a din daraisa; it's just an asmachta. It's just a hint that the Torah is giving, but it's not really a drasha daraisa. You could read it both ways over here, because the Torah doesn't say explicitly about tefillah, meaning there might be other things that are avodah shebelev, that might be, like we said before, everything might qualify as avodah shebelev. So to narrow it specifically to tefillah is somewhat of a chiddush. So you could read it both ways, but the simplest way to read the Gemara is that we're talking about a mitzvah da'oraisa over here. The problem with saying that there's a mitzvah da'oraisa of tefillah, and that it comes from this pasuk, because this pasuk tells me to serve Hashem with my heart, is that it's not a problem if all you see are these three lines of Gemara. But if you happen to know the Chumash, and you know how many times the Torah talks about serving Hashem with your heart, it's hard to learn a mitzvah d'oraisa each time the Torah says it. The Torah constantly talks about serving Hashem in one way or another with our heart. So you can say each time it's a new mitzvah of tefillah, there's a mitzvah of tefillah, another mitzvah of tefillah, another mitzvah of tefillah. So the Sefer HaChinuch says, yeah, exactly that. The Sefer HaChinuch, Mitzvah Tav Lamed Gimel, says, you know, it says in Devarim Perek Yud, Oso Ta'avod. It says in Shemos Perek Chav Gimel, Vavad Temes Hashem Elokeichem. It says in Devarim Perek Yud Gimel, Voso Ta'avodu. Alavdo B'chol Avavachem. He says, you have all of these makoros that all talk about serving Hashem with your heart, serving Hashem with your entire heart, all of these different psukim. So even though these psukim seem to be speaking about this broad service of HaKadosh Baruch Hu and not something specific like tefillah, nevertheless, the Rambam, the Sefer HaChinuch quotes from the Rambam, it includes Kol HaTorah Kula, but the specifics of tefillah are derived from this pasuk as well. These psukim that talk about avodah b'lev are a source for the idea of tefillah. And the Sefer HaChinuch goes on, like he does by every mitzvah, to explain what the idea of tefillah is, why it's so important that we have a mitzvah of tefillah. And if you look in the paragraph that begins Umelvad, in the third paragraph in the Sefer HaChinuch, he writes, Umelvad ha'udah lazem bezos amida, tzivam sheyishtam shuba, v'yivakshu mimenu tamid kol tzorcheyem v'kol chefzas libam. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants us to ask for things from him. Umelvad ha'sagas chefzei libeinu yesh lanu zuchus bedavar bisor ruchenu v'kavanu kol machshuv asenu. Why does Hashem want us to ask for things? Let's say I already have something. So it's normally, if it was like our children, we'd be annoyed if they were asking for things that they already have. You know, I'm so hungry, I want supper. It's on your plate. It's in front of you. Stop asking for it. Why would you ask for something that you already have? But the idea is, says Sefer HaChinuch, is by getting into the practice of asking Hashem for things, it's an acknowledgement that only Hashem can give things. That you only ask someone when they're capable of giving. You wouldn't ask someone who's incapable of doing anything about it. So it trains us to realize that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is tovu meitiv lanu, v'chi'en of pekuchos al kol darkeinu, and that he's involved in our lives, and that when we ask for things, he's paying attention, and he's interested in responding to our tefillah. That's the idea of tefillah. But what is the mitzvah on a daraisa level? So if you look at the Rambam. The Rambam in source number 2, Mitzvah saseh l'espalel b'chol yom. It's a mitzvah d'oraisa to daven every single day. Shenemar v'avadtem es Hashem elokeichem. And he quotes the pasuk, v'avadtem es Hashem elokeichem, paraphrasing the b'raisa. Mipi ha'shmua lamdu, sh'avodu zu hi tefillah. And we have from Torah Shebal Peh, mipi ha'shmua just means the Torah Shebal Peh understands that means tefillah. Shenemar l'avdu b'chol levavchem. Omru chachamim ezui avodah shebelev zu tefillah, and the Brisa teaches us that avodah shebelev is tefillah. However, says the Rambam, even though it's a clear mitzvah d'oraisa to daven in the Rambam's view, ve'ein minyan hatfilos min haTorah. The number of tefillos that we daven is not midoraisa. Just that we daven is d'oraisa. The number of tefillos and the zman of tefillah, none of that is d'oraisa. It's just that we should daven, but it doesn't say how often, it doesn't say when, it doesn't, just that we daven. Tefillah is d'oraisa. Now, elsewhere the Rambam says that it's tefila b'chol yom is daraisa. And the Sefer HaMitzvah said it's tefila each and every day is daraisa, but not three times a day. Tefila to daven, not how much, not 19 brachos of Shemona Esrei, just daven. Davening is a mitzvah daraisa. Who's the one that argues and says that it's not a mitzvah daraisa to daven every day? So whenever the Rambam says anything in Sefer HaMitzvah, the Ramban, whether he agrees with the Rambam or not, jumps all over the Rambam and tries to show why either the Rambam missed half the sources or the Rambam's wrong because he's against Kol HaTorah Kula. The Rambam never argues on the Rambam that the Rambam's against one Gemara or one Pasuk. The Rambam, he thinks, is always against every Gemara and every Pasuk. He shakes out every single possible Mara Makom. So the Ramban is often misquoted, I think. I think the way people quote the Ramban is they generally like to say that the Ramban holds that tefillah is only daraisa be'es tzara, that there's only a mitzvah of tefillah daraisa when you're in a very trying time, when a person's suffering through some difficult circumstances. So then you cry out to Hashem, that's daraisa. Any other time you daven is only drabanan. The Ramban doesn't really say that. If we look carefully at the Ramban, we're not going to read the whole thing inside, but if you look carefully at the Ramban, what the Ramban, this whole big paragraph in source number 5, what the Ramban works toward in this entire paragraph is to show you that there is no mitzvah of tefillah min haTorah, that there is no mitzvah midaraisa of tefillah. At the very, very end, after showing over and over again that there's no mitzvah of tefillah min haTorah, he says, and if you want to say that there is a mitzvah of tefillah min haTorah, it must be that it's be'es tzara, that there would only be a mitzvah of tefillah when you're experiencing an es tzara, but not that there actually is. He seems much more inclined to say that there's no mitzvah of tefillah min haTorah. And the Ramban says, I have lots of proofs. The Ramban points out that there are beferusha gemaras throughout Shas that contrast tefillah with other mitzvahs. And the gemaras say, for example, he quotes a gemara in Brachos Daf Chaf Aleph, where the Gemara says that if a person becomes a Bal Keri, person has a seminal emission, so he's Tamei, he can say Kriya Shema and say Birch Samazon, but he should not be Mispalel. And the Gemara says, well, why should Kriya Shema and Birch Samazon be any different than Tefillah? So the Gemara says, well, very simply, Kriya Shema and Birch Samazon are Doraisa, Tefillah is Drabana. So, you know, the Rambam may have Tainus Dav Beis Amun Aleph, where it says, you know, Darshan's a Pasuk, to tell me that there's a mitzvah to Davin, but the Gemara in Tainus Daf Beis Amud Aleph did not say explicitly Tfila da Oraisa. It just quoted a pasuk and said, from that pasuk we see Tfila. The Ramban says, I got a Gemara that says explicitly Kriya Shema Birch Samazon Da Oraisa. Tfila is only Darabanan. And then he says, what's the classic nafkamina? Whether something's da Oraisa or Darabanan? What's a typical nafkamina? You want to know Lamai nafkamina, whether something is da Oraisa or Darabanan? Safek, what do you do in a situation of safek? The basic rule, safek daraisa l'chumra, safek drabanan l'kula. What do you do if you have a safek about tefillah? So that should be a test case, right? If there's ever a Gemara anywhere in Shas that talks about a safek, whether a person davened, so that should answer it right there. If the Gemara says you got to daven again, then you see that it's daraisa, safek daraisa l'chumra. If the Gemara says you don't have to daven again, then you see it's got to be drabanan. So he says, well, there is a Gemara like that. The Gemara says, Safek kara kriya shema, safek lo kara kriya shema. If you're not sure whether you said kriya shema or not, well, what do we know about kriya shema? That's definitely doraisa. So the Gemara says, chos over kavod. You have to say kriya shema. So of course, safek ispalel, safek lo ispalel, says the Gemara, eino chos over mispalel. You don't daven again. So says the Ramban, don't you see? And the reason is because kriya shema is doraisa, tefillah is drabana. So that's raya number two. That it's only drabanan. He says, I have another Gemara. There's a Gemara in Maseches Sukkah. Talks about if you're in the middle of a su'udah and the mitzvah comes up, do you have to stop your su'udah to do the mitzvah? So the Gemara asks, how come when it comes to tefillah, you don't have to stop your su'udah to go daven? When it comes to lulav, you have to stop to make sure you take lulav, that you don't miss out on the mitzvah of lulav. So you're having an early dinner, and it's already going to be nighttime. Lulav can only be done during the day. So you got to stop, make sure that you do lulav. You don't want to risk missing doing lulav. But tefillah, the Gemara asks, by tefillah, apparently you don't have to stop. Why is it that you don't have to stop for tefillah and you do for lulav? So the Gemara says, well, that's a silly question. It's obvious what the difference is. Lulav, doraisa, tefillah to Rabbanan. So says the Ramban, three Gemaras that are explicit, straight out, that tefillah is to Rabbanan. How's the Rambam going to answer those three Gemaras? What's the Rambam going to do with those three Gemaras? So the Ramban says, well, I could think of what the Rambam will do with those three Gemaras. Maybe he'll say as follows. What did the Rambam say? How often does one have to daven midaraisa? What did the Rambam say? What? No, the Ramban was based, sorry, what did the Rambam say? B'chol yom, once a day. So is it, and anything more than once a day is what? The Rabbana. So all of these Gemaras that talk about, you're not sure if you daven, should you stop to daven, all of these Gemaras might be talking about where you said Modani in the morning. You woke up and you said some sort of tefillah. So daraisa, you're already covered. And now it's just a question of, you know, did you daven mincha? It's a question of another tefillah. So the Ramban says, I could defend the Rambam and tell you that maybe the Rambam's talking about a case where a person said some sort of tefillah that day, and therefore he's only dealing with the Drabanan. But he says the problem is that the Gemara says that a Balkeri is mevarich says Birchas Hamazon because it's min haTorah, but doesn't daven ad sheyitpol afilu amad kama yamim bekiria. Specifically says that a Balkeri shouldn't daven until he goes to the mikveh, no matter how many days he's been a Balkeri for. I mean, it's like a woman is a Nida, so when does she stop being a Nida? Not when she stops bleeding. She stops being a Nida only when she goes to the mikveh. If there's no mikveh available and she can't go to the mikveh for 3 months, so then she's a Nida for 3 months. That's the story they tell with Ramesha, that the difference between an age between his daughters, Rebbetzin Shiskal and Rebbetzin Feinst and Rebbetzin Tendler and his sons, Rav David and Reuven, it was like a 4-year gap between his younger daughter and his older son. So Rabbi Pam, Yamin's father, told me the story that he said he heard from someone that the way they tell the story is that there was no mikveh in Russia, so his wife couldn't go to the mikveh, so she was in Nida for 4 years. So she was 4 years, she was in Nida, they didn't have children for 4 years. Binyam's father, Rabbi Pam, told me the story. He said the way he heard was that there was a mikveh, but the Russian authorities in Laban, they didn't know about it. And if the rabbi's wife would continue to have children, they would realize there must be a mikveh somewhere, and they would go and find it. So everyone else is going to continue to have children. They're not going to think anything. They'll just assume, like everybody else, they just gave up the religion, that they gave up on the mikveh. But the rabbi's wife, is if Rav Moshe's wife is going to continue. So he took one for the team, and she didn't go to the mikveh for 4 years, so that they won't discover the mikveh and stop the whole community from having access to a mikveh. Not normal, the kind of mesirus nefesh. So anyway, but if a person, she's going to be tamei until she goes to the mikveh, same by Balkari. It's not like it magically disappears the further you move away from when the actual event happened. You're not tahor until you go to the mikveh. So even if it's kama yamim, if it's many days, says the Ramban, the Gemara says you're still not going to daven. You can't tell me that for many days you already davened each day, you already said some sort of tefillah katsara each day. It's impossible because it's been, if it's many days consecutively. Furthermore, the Gemara tells us that certain gedolei hatanoim would only daven every once in a while. They would only daven mitlasin yamin letlasin yamin. They would daven every 30 days because they were so involved in Torah learning. So they would stop for Kriya Shema, but not for tefillah. So it's, if you can say that tefillah every day is daraisa, what's their excuse? How could you not stop every day for tefillah? So that's why the Ramban says he doesn't think that tefillah is daraisa at all. He thinks tefillah is darabanan. If you want to say anything, then you could say be'est tzara, that tefillah is daraisa. That specifically in an eist tzara, tefillah is daraisa. Now what would drive the Ramban to say it's daraisa though? Meaning the Ramban's got all these gemaras that are explicit that tefillah is drabanan when it contrasts tefillah with lulav, contrasts tefillah with kriyas shema, contrasts tefillah with birchas hamazon, and the punchline is the same in every gemara. Those mitzvos of daraisa, tefillah is drabanan. So why would the Rambam make this big push to say tefillah daraisa if every gemara says otherwise? Every gemara says tefillah drabanan. So the Pri Chadash points out that there are lots of gemaras that seem to imply that tefillah is treated with excessive stringency. And in general, there are times that we treat the Rabbanans more seriously than the Oraisas when there's a particular concern that people aren't going to take the Rabbanans seriously. But tefillah doesn't seem like the type of thing that concern is going to be so overwhelming. You know, it's not like some strange mitzvah that's going to be hard for people to relate to. Tefillah should be something that's pretty easy for people to relate to, because every religion does it. You know, it's something that if you believe in God, you want to call out to that God. You want to reach out to God. You want to communicate with God. It doesn't seem like something that we have an overwhelming concern that people would neglect the mitzvah. So if we're going to treat tefillah stringently, probably it's because it's a very strict issue. It must be that it's the oraisa. Where do we find that we treat it very strictly? So we talk about, Gemara talks about a guy in the middle of his work day. The Mishnah talks about a guy in the middle of his work day. And you're not supposed to take off time from work. You're being paid by the hours. You're not supposed to take off any time to take care of your own things. So the Gemara says that you should make sure you daven me'ein Shmona Esrei. Me'ein Shmona Esrei. You daven like an abridged version of Shmona Esrei. But why daven at all? Meaning if it's Drabban, you should say Midah Raisa, you're being paid to work, you have to work. So why would you daven at all? The fact that you would take off time to daven a Me'ein Shmona Esrei, for example, the Gemara says Birch Samotzi, you would not make a bracha, says Pri Chadash. For benching, you would. You know, this is not halach l'maisa, obviously, because we assume most employers understand, certainly since the internet was invented, most employers understand that people don't really work for it, and they work for like 4 seconds out of the hour. But it used to be, it was understood that a person was going to work for 60 minutes out of an hour. So you can't take off even just a few seconds here and there. So you wouldn't say amotzi in middle of a workday. But tefillah you would do. Why? It must be because tefillah is such an important issue. And he quotes many other places in Shas where we're specifically machmir about tefillah. Now, if you're going to say tefillah is d'oraisa, so what do we learn it from? La'avdo b'chalavav, right? That's where the Rambam learns it from. The Kasher Glover Gaon, Tshuvas Eretz Tzvi, just points out that if you look in source number 4, Tshuvas Eretz Tzvi was Rav Arye Tzvi Frommer. He was the Rosh Yeshiva of Yeshivas Chachmei Lublin after Rav Meir Shapiro died. Super duper genius, and he writes in his Tshuva the following. He points out that there's a Magen Avraham that tries to explain why it is that so many women don't daven every day. And he says, well, according to the Rambam, Tefillah is d'oraisa, just to daven a little bit every day. So they say Moda'ani, they say something. So that's a little bit every day. And a lot of the Achronim don't like it. Moda'ani, that's a tefillah, that's enough. That's going to be a fulfillment of the mitzvah. So he says, I think you could explain it based on the following. You know, how many times do we daven a day? We daven 3 times a day. Why? Where does the number 3 come from? So Gemara Brachos talks about this. Where does the 3 come from? Two possibilities. There's Avos and there's Kabbalos, right? There's the Gimel Avos and then there's Kabbalos. The Kabbalos Tamid. How many Kabbalos Tamid are there? 2, right? There aren't 3, but you know, the Ataras Chalav Ma'ivarim, they're burning on the Mizbeach all night of Mariv, and that's why Tfilas Arvis Rishus, it's a notch below. Tosas and Maseches Brachos points out when we say Tfilas Arvis Rishus, it doesn't mean it's optional, it means it's more optional than Shachris and Mincha, but it's still mandatory. Right? There's levels of Rishus, but whatever it is, that's if it's Keneged, the Karban Tamid. So it would stand to reason that anyone who's Pater from the Karban Tamid would be pater from that form of tefillah. Now, what does it mean, pater from the carbon tamid? Who brought the carbon tamid? Whose carbon was it? Carbon tamid? It was a carbon tzibur. The whole Klal Yisrael brought the carbon tamid. And that doesn't mean that all of Klal Yisrael brought it. It means at the beginning of the year, everyone contributes a half a shekel, and they take that money and they buy a carbon tamid. There's a difference between a carbon tzibur and a carbon ashutvin. If you get the entire Jewish people to, you get like a carbon initiative, and you manage to reach out to as many people as you can, and everyone gives like a penny to pay for a carbon, that's a carbon ashutvim. Everyone's partners together in the carbon. It's still not a carbon atzibur. Carbon atzibur is when it's paid for with communal funds. Not each person paying their own money. It's paid for with communal funds. What makes it communal funds? It's part of the collection of machzor shekel, which makes it communal funds. So there's a carbon tzibur. It's no one's chiv. So the only way to determine who would be included in the carbon tamid is to look at who pays the machzor shekel. do women have to give a machzor shekel? So says the Kashuk Glover there at Tzvi, that women don't pay the machzor shekel. That's a Mishnah in Shkalim, in the first parak of Masechet Shkalim, that Nashim and Avadim are part of a machzor shekel. So it's pashut that they're part of from the Chiv Karban Tamid, and Mele, they're part of from all the tefillos. And he says, but then it would turn out that Ketanim should also be part of from tefillah. Okay, not the end of the world to say Ketanim are part of from tefillah. Why is it that you would tell your kid he has to daven even if he's part of from tefillah? Because you're chayiv to be mechanichim, right? So the Kashuk Glover says, yeah, chinuch, your chayiv of chinuch is until he's 13. When do you start paying for the machzor shekel? At the age of 20. So he said, it'll come out funny. And a kid, when he could read Hebrew, you have a chiv to be mechanichim to daven till his bar mitzvah. Then at his bar mitzvah, you say, take a 7-year vacation. See you in 7 years from now. And when he comes 20, that's when he's going to have to daven again. What? It's a good leave mitzvah in the high school years. Yeah, shanabat. About shanabat, that's when you'll have to daven again. So that's pretty jarring. It's pretty shocking that you'd say something like that. And the Kashuk Glover points out, he says, Kashuv, the Bnei Yud Gimel Shana, the Chi of Chinuch goes away, so then why would they have to daven? So he says, maybe you could say Chi of Chinuch is something that it rarely would come out this way, because most mitzvahs you're absolutely obligated by the time you hit bar mitzvah, but maybe one has a Chi of to be mechanech themselves. What does that mean? Meaning he's suggesting a very important understanding in the mitzvah of chinuch. What he's suggesting is, anytime there's what to prepare for, there's a chiyuv of chinuch. So a child is a lav bar das before the age of 13, it can't be his chiyuv, so it's going to be the father's chiyuv, but it's because what generates that chiyuv is not the fact that there's a father, not that it's the fact that this kid will one day have mitzvahs. So that generates the chiyuv of chinuch. If a 13-year-old or a 14 or 15-year-old is pater from a mitzvah, but he will one day become chayiv in the mitzvah, that itself generates a chiyuv chinuch. It's just that he himself, after 13, is a bar das. So maybe he's chayiv in his own chinuch for tefillah. That's what the Kashuk Glover suggests. He says, it's the best I got to suggest why it would be that someone between the age of 13 and 20. But he says, it would come out that even if you say tefillah is daraisa, so it was nafkamina, we said the classic nafkamina where the tefillah is daraisa, tefillah drabanan, suffik, right? If you have a suffik whether you davened, so then suffik daraisa l'chumma. So if you hold like the Rambam, the tefillah is daraisa, and suffik whether you davened would be l'chumma, that would only be true once you hit the age of 20. That it would turn out that between the age of 13 and 20, if you're not sure whether you davened, you would not daven. We'd say safek l'kula, which is an astonishing chiddush, that the halacha would change between the age of... Every tshuva in the Kashuk Glover is like this. He says just like one wild thing after the next. I mean, he just had these crazy ideas in his head. He was a very creative thinker, and he was always with wild connections and ideas that he tried to put together. In yeshiva, we always heard, in the name of Rav Soloveitchik, we always heard that the Rambam and Ramban, Rabbi Ganak used to tell us, and Rav Shechter Princeton and Pnine Arav, that the Rambam and the Ramban don't really disagree be'etzem, meaning they disagree in terms of how often you have to daven midaraisa, but fundamentally in terms of what the nature of the chiyuv tefillah is, they really agree. They both agree that one is only mechuyav to daven be'es tzarev. Their machlokes is, Rav Soloveitchik suggested, how do you define es tzarev? Meaning, today felt like a regular day for me. I woke up, gave a shir, went to yeshiva, gave a bechina, paced up and down the aisles, whatever, shir barbecue, it was a nice day. Graduation, a lot of great things, a lot of fun things. Seemed like a regular day. I never once thought about the fact that I was breathing, never once thought about I may not have food to eat. Thank God, came home, there was plenty of dinner. That was right after the barbecue, so plenty. Right, there's never once had to cross my mind. So it didn't seem like an Eis Tzara, it seemed like a regular day. So the Rambam would say, the Ramban would say, so you have no Chiv Doraisa, because there's only Chiv Doraisa and Eis Tzara. But the Rambam's expectation is that a person lives his life with the constant recognition that every day is an Eis Tzara. meaning with a constant recognition that just like Hashem gives me oxygen to breathe in this moment, it might not be there in a moment from now. And we see so often how life changes in just like in an instant, a person's whole life can be turned upside down. The Rambam has the expectation that a person live his entire life with that level of intensity, with that outlook. It's a hefty expectation to live like that. But that's why the Rambam says it's chiyuv tefillah every day. That's the vart we always heard from Rav Soloveitchik. But I think
it should be hourly, why daily?
But there's a limit. I mean, you have to do other things. I mean, the Gemara does say halavai sheispal kol hayom, right? That halavai a person should daven all day. But I don't think we actually view that as an ideal. I think maybe that's what the Gemara means. That really, by rights, we should be davening all day. It's just then we would be very unproductive. We wouldn't be doing anything else. So it's just not feasible. What I thought was the most important insight from any achron on tefillah that really made a tremendous impact, I tell it to my talmidim every year, is Rav Moshe's tshuva about tefillah. If I were to ask you, does a guy have to daven? Is a guy obligated to daven? Non-Jew. So what do you think of right away when you think, is a guy obligated, is a guy not obligated? You consult your list. Shevim Mitzvot Shnei Noach. So is it on the list? And if it's not on the list, then he's patur, right? So Sanhedrin Daf Nun Vav, the Rambam in Perek Tes of Hilchos Melachim lists Shevim Mitzvot Shnei Noach. You look there, upwards, downwards, you look backwards, forwards, it's not there on the list. So Pashtus, a guy should have no obligation to daven. And Rav Moshe starts his tshuva by saying that a guy is in fact not obligated to daven. If a guy davens, is he getting a mitzvah? I mean, there's a difference between a chiyuv and a kiyu mitzvah. If he davens, is he getting a mitzvah? Says Rav Moshe, for sure he gets a mitzvah if he davens.
Davens to who?
What?
Davens
to Hashem. Davens to God. You know what they call God or Allah or whatever, you know, right? It's just semantics, different languages, but they're talking about God.
Okay.
Now there are religions that not. I mean, if you're davening to Yashka, you're not davening to God. But if a person is davening to God, so that's davening, and whatever language he's doing it in, that's tefillah. So does a guy get a mitzvah to daven? So Rav Moshe is a pasuk. Pasuk Sheyo, and we all know the pasuk. Ki beisi, beis tefillah l'chalamin. So it's a beis tefillah l'chalamin. Why would we brag that the beis hamikdash, beisi, the beis hamikdash, is a base tefillah l'chala amin, if there's no maila in kala amin doing tefillah? Meaning, why would we say, oh, kibesi is a place where they mop? I mean, mopping is not a mitzvah. Why would I care that they mop? You know, I'm sure they must clean the floors. All the Gemara says the wind would blow, whatever, blow the dirt away. But they did other things that weren't mitzvahs. But we don't talk about it in psukim, that this is the maila of this house. I just saw a story. I forgot where I saw it. Somewhere online, but one of the papers did a story about a small town in like Croatia or something, where there's a Chabad rabbi and another rabbi, and the minig in that town by all the Gayim is that literally 50 a day will go to the rabbis and ask them to daven for them, and they'll pay them to daven for them. It's a living, so they'll go and they'll ask them to daven for them. But they asked the rabbis, isn't it inappropriate of all these non-Jews coming into your synagogue every day? And the rabbi said, no, there's nothing wrong with that. Basically, based tefillah l'chalam. I once asked Rav Shechter, what should I do if a guy comes into shul? So he said, what do you mean, what should I do? If he davens, then it's fine. Basically, based tefillah l'chalam. Let a guy daven if he wants to daven. Nothing wrong with a guy davening, right? If he wants to daven, that's not nothing wrong, says Rav Moshe. It's a mitzvah. He's doing a mitzvah.
So,
well, right. So just like we can only bring karbanos when there's a base hamikdash, they can only bring karbanos when they can also send karbanos, but also only when there's a base hamikdash. But to show off about the base hamikdash, you know what's great about it? It's a base tefillah l'chala amin. That implies that tefillah l'chala amin is a good thing in general, and this is where it's done. That's a maila. That it's done there, but it could be done anywhere. So in a Mikdash Ma'at, it can also be done, and even outside of Mikdash. What Rav Moshe was really talking about was school prayer. You know, in public schools where they would say some sort of prayer at the beginning of the day after the Pledge of Allegiance or something. Let's say some sort of non-denominational, very parv kind of prayer. So Rav Moshe was asked whether a Jewish kid is allowed to participate in that. He's davening together with Goyim. You don't know what they have in mind, what they don't have in mind. And Rav Moshe says, yeah, why not? If they're davening to God, then that's great for them. And even if they're not davening to God, but you're davening to God, so great for you, you know, as long as you're davening to God. He says, what, you're going to say it's Maris Ha'ayin, that people are going to see the little kid with the cross on his neck, and he's davening to Yashka, davening next to the Jewish kid, and they're going to think the Jewish kid's also davening to Yashka. He said, why would you think that about a Jewish kid? Why would you be choshi that? He said, I don't think it's Maris Ha'ayin. Why would you suspect the Jewish kid of Avodah Zarah? You would never suspect a Jewish kid. Probably he's davening to God. He didn't see anything wrong with it. But then Rav Moshe says, okay, so if a guy davens, he's not mechuyev, but he gets a mitzvah for davening. What kind of mitzvah? He says, like any other, eino mitzvah v'yose. Person's not obligated to mitzvah, but does it anyway. So good, so it's a mitzvah to daven. It's not quite the same level of a mitzvah v'yose, of someone who's obligated, but it's like a woman sitting in sukkah. It's like a woman taking lulav. Ain't a mitzvah v'yosa, a woman listening to shofar. Our wives do all these things, and we think it's a wonderful thing, and it is a wonderful thing. That's what a guy davening is. Then Rav Moshe says, that's what a guy davening daily is. But what about an eis tzara? So here Rav Moshe says, and this I thought was such a phenomenal insight. You'll see it inside. If you look in source number 7, in the third paragraph of Rav Moshe, the paragraph begins, Aval. He says, Aval nirla nias daiti. He says, for a guy to daven that it's an eina mitzvah v'yosa, it's a kiyum mitzvah, that's if he has no specific need that he has to ask God for. But if he's going through something, someone in his family is ill, he lost his job, hu kichiyuv mamish. It's a chiyuv mamish for a guy to daven. Aye, why isn't it one of the seven mitzvahs b'nei Noach? V'lo kashmi mashalo hechshiv zel mitzvah miyuchedes b'chiyuv b'nei Noach. And then here's the punchline. Why is it not in the seven mitzvahs b'nei Noach? If it's a chiyuv mamish, mishum dezehu ikar ha'emuna b'Hashem yisbarach. That is emuna in Hashem. Sherak hu anosin parnasa v'harof echolim. That only He can give us parnasa. Only He can heal the sick. And if you don't daven to Hashem, hareyu ke'inu mamin bo umamin b'zvarim acherim. If you don't daven to Hashem, you don't believe in Hashem. Part of belief in Hashem is the ability to communicate with Him and to ask Him for that which we need. Emunah b'Hashem is not one of the seven mitzvos b'nei Noach either, says Rav Moshe. But obviously a guy is chayiv in emunah b'Hashem, because the idea of Sheva Mitzvah B'nei Noach don't make sense. The whole concept of mitzvah doesn't make sense if you don't have emunah. What does mitzvah mean? People mistranslate. People think, in the certainly outside of the Orthodox community, when they say the word mitzvah, they mean good deed. But that's not what mitzvah means. That's a terrible translation of the word. Right? There's a Hebrew shoresh over there, and that's command. Who commanded? God commanded. If you don't believe in God, there's no such thing as a mitzvah. So the very notion that there's such a thing as a mitzvah means that you believe in God. And a guy has to believe in God, so mela, the guy is going to have a chiv of tefillah when he really needs something. That's how Rav Moshe writes. So we're going back a step again. Rambam Ramban, fundamental machlokas, tefillah every day, da'oraisa, that's the Rambam. The Ramban probably holds the Rabbanon. At most he would hold that it's Doraisa only in an ace tzara. L'may nafkamina between the Rambam and the Ramban, so one nafkamina might be, let's say it's already Ben Ashmash. Yeah?
What's the Ramban's makor for Chiyuv Beisara?
For Chiyuv Beisara, he says, if you're going to say that it's anything at the end, I don't know what if he has a makor at the end, what does he say? His real push was to say that it's only Drabana.
Right.
V'imu la yeh midrashim betfila ikar min haTorah nimnasu b'minyanu shel harav v'nomar shi mitzvah le'is hatzaros shenamin shu yisbarach misal shomei tefila. I don't know. It doesn't really. Yeah. Just that if you're going to say anything, that it's daraisa, it's got to be that it's only an eis.
Means daraisa there? Yeah. Presumably. presume?
Yeah, because if he's counting in the minyan of mitzvos, he's suggesting that it should be counted as one of the mitzvos. If it's going to be counted as one of the mitzvos, it's got to be d'oraisa. Right. Because even though there were those who counted mitzvos to Rabbanan amongst the 613, the Bahag did so, but one of the principles that both the Rambam and Ramban agree on is that we don't count mitzvos to Rabbanan amongst the 613. We only count mitzvos to d'oraisa.
Does it matter if you count the Emunah b'Hashem as one of the mitzvos?
Emunah b'Hashem is a different discussion. That's also a discussion in the beginning of Sefer HaMitzvos, whether Emunah is too big to be a mitzvah. Meaning, for the same reason Rav Moshe said that Goyim are obligated in Emunah. Maybe Emunah is too fundamental to be called one of 613 mitzvahs when it's the foundation of all 613. You can't have any mitzvahs without Emunah. So that's the whole machlokas, whether you should count Emunah as a mitzvah. Either it's a mitzvah because it's a mitzvah, or it's you can't call it a mitzvah because that's belittling it to call it a mitzvah. So that's a little bit different. Over here, we're right, but according to Rav Moshe, then maybe you wouldn't be in the minyan of mitzvah, it's just part of Emunah, that base tzara. Maybe the Rav Moshe is a good taich in the Ramban. Rav Moshe saying that that's where base tzara would come from. And it comes from Emunah, and then it doesn't even have to be in the minyan of mitzvah, because it's just part of what's God if you can't talk to Him, if you can't reach out to Him, if you can't daven to Him.
It's going to be the performance of that mitzvah.
What?
Tefillah to be the way you perform.
Yeah, the Maisa Mitzvah of Emunah, if there is such a thing, right? And then Tefillah would be that. The Prima Gadim points out, what if it's Ben HaShemashos? And so you're not sure if you could still daven. It's already, you're not sure if you could still daven Mincha. You didn't daven that day. Day's Safek over, right? So what do you do? So if you say Tefillah is Daraisa, so daven is Safek Daraisa L'chumra. If you say Tefillah is the Rabbanan, don't daven. Savik the Rabbanan l'kula. That nafkamina is not 100% clear, because the idea that we say Savik d'araisa l'chumra, some of the poskim suggest would only be true if once you then are machmir, now you're sure that you did it. I'm saying if you're not sure if you davened at all that day, and now the day might be over, it might not be over. It's Benash Mashos. So if you daven right now, you're still not sure if you davened on that day, because the day might be over already. See, if it's still the middle of the day, and I don't know if I took lulav that day, I don't know if I davened that day, I don't know if I benched that day. So now, when I do it now, then I know for sure I covered my bases. I know for sure now I fulfill the mitzvah. This came up in the big discussion about tcheles. One of the suggestions about wearing the murex tcheles is that even if it's a suffix, to say that it's not even a suffix is like ridiculous. I mean, it's hard to imagine anyone believes that it's not even a suffix, because the rayas are so overwhelming. But even if you say that it's only 50-50 suffix, which itself is hard to believe, but even if you want to say that, so say something that rayas al-chumra, right? So you should. So Rav Shlomo Miller from Toronto pointed out that there's a say b'shem Reb Chaim, that no, you only say suffix that rayas al-chumra when after your machmir, you know that you've covered your bases. So after your machmir, you know that you've done it. But over here, if you're not sure if this is the real tchelis or not the real tchelis, even after your machmir, you're still not sure if it's the real tchelis, you're still not sure if you're mekayim mitzvah. So mele, you're not going to say something to Reis al-Chomer. That was Rav Shlomo Miller's taina. Rav Shachter has a taina back. He points out that Rishonim say not that way explicitly. Rav Shlomo Miller wrote back, you can't just sneeze at Reb Chaim, you know, even if you have rayas from Rishonim. Okay, so they have a whole sikh back and forth about that issue. But that's fundamental to Safek Daraisa L'Chumra. So over here, the Prichadash assumes this would be a nafkamina, whether Tefillah is Daraisa or Tefillah is Rabbanan. That nafkamina assumes not like that Reb Chaim, assumes not like that Reb Shlomo Miller. It assumes that even when you're not sure that you're covering your bases by davening, that you still you would still daven anyway. You would still be machmir on the suffix. We're running out of time. We'll mention just parenthetically. Why is there that there's no bracha on the mitzvah of tefillah? If tefillah is a mitzvah, so every mitzvah that we do, most mitzvahs that we do require a bracha. So why wouldn't we say Hashem Kishon Mitzvah Tzvanu L'Spalo Lavros Hashem Belev, or whatever, however you would want to formulate the bracha? So that would be a kash even according to the Ramban, because we say brachas and mitzvahs to Rabbanan also. The Gemara Shabbos Chav Kimmel, we say bracha on Ner Chanukah, and Mikra Megillah, we say brachas and mitzvahs to Rabbanan. So there are a number of suggestions the poskim have. Some suggest that there's no maisa, it's avoda v'leiv, you don't say even with hirhur, strictly speaking. Others say that there's no keva, halavai she'espalel kalayom, you could have it all day long. That would also explain why there's no bracha on Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim, kalamarbe Hareza Meshubach, that if there's no set amount, that there would be no bracha. We just mamish scratched the surface of the mitzvah of tefillah, but there are more marmakomas to take a look at in the spare time.